One of the things I just say to pastors out there is, you know, don't look at your business people as a resource. You know, look at them just like you would that somebody came off the street, said, hey, I'm on drugs, I need help, I need to know the Lord. These are people that have needs as well. You know, they may not have financial needs that you have or other people have in your church, but they have other needs that could be even greater.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, where we passionately are committed to offering encouragement and new ideas to those on the front lines of Christian ministry. At Romans 12 Ministries, we come alongside those leaders and families, fighting for their emotional, physical, and spiritual health, for we firmly believe that healthy leaders lead healthy ministries, and where there are healthy churches and ministries, there will be transformation in communities. Welcome again to the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast.
One of my favorite quotes by Abraham Lincoln is this: everyone you meet is fighting some kind of battle. I'm not sure about you, but I often think that the successful, rich, and well-dressed Christian business leader has it all together. They walk, they talk, and they conduct themselves in such confidence and an air of togetherness that they often seem unapproachable. Pastors often don't know how to relate or are often intimidated by these individuals in the church. Today's guest shines a light on ways pastors and all of us could go about building relationships with people who are different than us. Mr. Doug Martin is currently the president and CEO of Good News Communications. He has been in media sales, marketing, and management for over 35 years and is a highly visible leader in the Tucson community. Doug has been married to Mary since 1981, and they have four grown children, and Sunday family dinners involve their four adult children and grandchildren. And great food. Does it get much better than that? I am David Town, your host of the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast. Mr. Doug Martin, it is great to have you here. I have a question for you. I always start the same question. And that question is, as you think back to your life, who has modeled stories of hope?
Well, that's a tough question. I would say you, David. That's what I would say.
Oh, come
you
on.
You model stories of hope. No, I think, you know, one of the most positive people I ever knew was Chuck Smith. I mean, anytime you'd be around Chuck Smith, you know, he was very encouraging, you know, and you'd see him at a conference and he would take time to talk to you. And to me, that kind of generates hope in people when they see people that are accessible, people that are approachable, people that will spend time with them and give them that word of encouragement. That means a lot.
And Chuck Smith was instrumental, wasn't he, in you coming to Christ?
Yeah, because my pastor, Skip Heitzig, was discipled by Chuck Smith. It was all a part of the Jesus movement back in the 60s and 70s out there in Costa Mesa, California. So my pastor, Skip Heitzig, you know, got saved out there in that whole movement and then came underneath, you know, Pastor Chuck's teaching. Mm-hmm. And so he was very instrumental in my pastor's life and then in, you know, and in an indirect way to me,
yeah,
you know, through that.
And I have a homework assignment to research Lonnie Frisbee.
Very interesting guy.
I'm looking forward to learning
Any
more
of the
about
listeners,
him.
If you want to know about somebody that kind of was, he was very instrumental in the whole Jesus movement, had his battles with demons, you know, in his life, you know, fell away from the Lord, but then came back to the Lord at the end, but really led a lot of young hippies to Christ back in the Jesus movement.
Well, your story is interesting to me, and I want to hear a little bit just about your story of how God has used you, not only within the church, but also within the community. Could you share with us a little bit on that?
Well, there are different callings in life. You know, I'm not called to be a pastor, and a lot of the people that may be listening to this are pastors or ministry leaders. But, you know, the pastor teacher, it says, is his job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so part of that work is in the business world. And that's the area that I've been in. You know, my whole career was with business people. And really, God had to change my heart from where I came from as a young person, because I resented people that were successful. When I was very young, I resented wealthy people because I grew up poor, And I remember them making fun of me, you know, with my glasses with the white tape around them and, you know, my clothes that had patches in it, which would now be popular today. If you have ripped up clothes, it's considered cool.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it either, because that, and whenever I see people like that, I go, man, get yourself some nice clothes. I'll buy you some clothes. Because for me growing up, I was always ridiculed by the rich kids in the school. And so I resented them. And when I first got into sales, I looked at business people more like marks. You know, they were like people I was going to beat, and if I could sell them something, then I won. And God really changed my heart, you know, on that. He corrected me, because he let me know those people are people, and that I needed to have a heart of ministry and compassion for them. And particularly being, when I ended up in Christian radio after I'd been in the mainstream radio, it was even more important, because the people I would be calling on would be successful business people. And you can't minister to people if you resent them. You know, so when God changed my heart, it really gave me a ministry, if you will, to business people. And that's the way I looked at it. Because when I was calling on people, yes, I was there to do business and to get them to advertise with our station. But more than that, I was also, and I was interested in them as people. And what I found out is that people that are in the business world and that are successful have more problems than you and me, and they have nobody really to talk to. It's like in Ecclesiastes 5, when you read that passage there, it talks about the poor man has blissful rest, but the rich man, because of all he has, cannot rest. And it's very true. Those that have been successful in business, they're managing a lot of things. They're stewards of a lot of assets, if you will, people and equipment and buildings and, you know, everything else that's involved in their business. And it's a heavy load. And unless, like, you have that attitude that we see at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, which is, so eat and drink and give glory to God for all that he's given you, basically. You've got to have that attitude. It's not yours, it's his. And it's something God has given and entrusted to you. But I also think this is a difficult thing for pastors to deal with, because they don't know what to do with business people. I mean, on the one hand, they look at business people as being a resource for the church. And many of the business people I talk to and that I know feel like that's all they are to people that are in ministry or even their pastors. They don't feel they could ever really sit down and talk to their pastor about things that they're going through, because the pastor looks at them as a resource, as a check, somebody that's going to write checks and support the ministry. And people in ministry that are out there raising funds, if you will, for their ministry often just look at, well, how much can that person give me? How much can that person contribute? And so it's a pretty lonely world for a lot of business people. They don't know who to trust. You can't trust other people in business because they're your competition. And in our world here in Tucson, it's a very small business community. So if you're going through a difficult time, you don't want people to know about it. Because if it gets out there, people are going to go, oh, so-and-so's having trouble in their business. Did you know about that? It's like the gossip mill. So it's a difficult thing being a business person. It's you don't know who to trust. Most pastors cannot relate to people in business. I remember talking to my pastor one time. He asked me how things were going. I started sharing with him the challenges I was going through. There was some real difficulty. I didn't know if I could make payroll. I mean, there was some, I had some real heavy things to deal with at the time. And I remember him just looking at me, and he got kind of a blank look on his face. And it was like, oh, well, I'll pray for you. Well, and I appreciate him praying for me, but I knew he couldn't relate. So one of the things I just say to pastors out there is, you know, don't look at your business people as a resource. You know, look at them, you know, just like you would that somebody came off the street, said, hey, I'm on drugs, I need help, I need to know the Lord. Look at them the same way. These are people that have needs as well. You know, they may not have the financial needs that you have or other people have in your church, but they have other needs that could be even greater. You know, money is not something that solves problems. It often creates problems.
How would you encourage a pastor or ministry leader to build that trust with other business leaders?
Well, I think the main thing is being willing to listen. It's just like, you know, most pastors are really good at listening to people when they come in and talk to them about their problems in their marriage or their problems with their kids or I lost my job or, you know, those are things that they can easily relate to and things that they can sympathize with. You know, but, you know, getting to know the business people in your church in a real way where they trust you and they're willing to share with you. And of course, it, just like in any counseling situation, there has to be real trust. You know, you can't be a talebearer, you know, and that there's a temptation there. If you knew something about somebody that, let's say, they're a very successful business person, well-known in the community, and they come to you and they start sharing things, you've got to be their confidant. But, you know, being willing to relate to them and listen to their story, listen to what they're going through, and then having the right attitude. Because you may hear things from a business person that you'll just kind of go, well, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, you're worried about, you know, money, or you're worried about, you know, making your projections or whatever. But all of that connects to other things. Like, let's say I own a company and I have 200 employees and I'm trying to make my projections every month. If I don't, that means some of those people are going to lose their jobs. It's a very difficult thing. And I remember one business person sharing with me their story. They were in a small group, and he started sharing with the people in the group. He was going through some tough times financially. And he goes, and I'm going to have to cut back a little bit in my business. He goes, in fact, I'm going to have to let five people go. And one of the ladies in his small group looks at him and goes, well, why don't you just sell your truck? You know, and that was like her answer to it. Well, you know, that may make sense from the outside. You go, oh, well, you could sell your truck and then you could still, because he had a very nice truck, right? So you could still keep the business going and not let those people go. But that's not going to change the situation. If your income in your business has gone down 20%, selling assets is not going to get you to where you need to be. The only way you're going to effectively run that business is making the cuts you need to make, strategic cuts, so that you can continue on and be successful. You won't have a business by selling off assets. So it's those kind of things. I mean, he told me after that, he goes, I'm never going to share in my small group again the things I'm going through, because the people in my group look at me like, well, sell something. Sell some of the things you have. Sell your house, whatever. Well, that's not going to fix the problem in the business.
Before we get back to Doug Martin, I wanted to first thank you for your continued support here at Romans 12 Ministries. We just passed a few milestones. First, we celebrated 2 years in ministry, coming alongside pastors, ministry leaders, and families by refreshing and restoring them. And second, we have over 2,000 listeners who follow us on the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast. So please subscribe to our podcast by hitting the subscribe button. This helps us greatly in getting these stories of hope out to those who need to hear it today. And your financial support is key in reaching more people. You can go to our website, which is romans12ministries.org, to support our ministry. Now back to my conversation with Mr. Doug Martin. Let's change gears just a little bit and look at what has the history been with churches investing in communities and bridging those relationships with businesses. Has that been a good thing, or has that been something that has been lacking?
Well, I think we need to look back a little to kind of get a view of this whole thing. But one of the great awakenings was actually, I think it was the one that was in the late 1890s, was started by business people. They were getting together every month and praying together. And from this great revival, you know, occurred. And I know there's a friend of mine here in Tucson that really believes that revival is going to come through the business community. Well, that's something that's near and dear to my heart, you know, and it's something that I would like to see happen. And we've had ministry for business people for decades. We used to do a group called Business Fellowship here in town, and I did that for about 20 years. But the difficulty we got into is it became popular. It was successful. So we ended up having 100 business people or so that would come every month and hear, you know, different speakers. And they were always people in the community that were other business people. And we would invite people that weren't Christians. We saw people come to know the Lord through this business fellowship. But then after a while, some of the people that started coming were not there for, you know, support of the business community. They were
resources,
there to, they were there to get it, mm-hmm. get the money. So we had to, you know, one of my friends called me, said, look, I'm not going to come anymore because now there's these people coming from different nonprofit groups. And then I get calls saying, hey, I know you're a Christian, you know, can't you give money to my organization? And some of them even had sort of an attitude about it. Like I remember one guy told me about someone that called on him and said, well, you have all this money. You can certainly give money to us. And he was almost indignant. Wow. You know, it's like, okay, if you're a business person, if you're if you've been given resources, you need to be good stewards of those resources. And sometimes that means not giving. And the business people I know who are believers pray about where they give. They don't give every place. They don't give to every ministry or every nonprofit. It's the ones that God lays on their heart. And sometimes I think nonprofit ministry people or even pastors have an attitude, well, hey, you have all this money. You should give us some, right? And it's an arrogant sort of an attitude. So we then folded the business fellowship group into small groups. And we started 11 small groups here in town. And we designed them so that they would be groups of the same type of people. So we would have, we even had one small group of young guys who had inherited their dad's businesses. So there's like 8 or 9 of these young guys. And so they're in a very unique kind of a situation. They're at a certain time of their life where they're raising young kids, had a lot in common. And so those small groups, the one that I'm in, we've been doing ever since then. And we formed very close relationships. And we share everything. We share what's going on personally with our families, you know, share what's going on with our wives. You know, we share what's going on in business, and everything is kept confidential. And one of the guys I was talking to in my group this last week, he was going to meet with a friend of his who's a business guy whose marriage is falling apart. And I go, you've been through it, you know, so God has prepared you for this moment. And he goes, I really do feel that God has prepared me, and I'm going to have the ability to speak into his life. So that's what I see, you know, is needed. I mean, you know, some churches have tried to get some business groups started within the church. I think that's an idea. But I think as a pastor, the main thing would be just spend time with them, get real with them, get honest with them, let them be able to speak to you about the things they're going through, and look at them like you'd look at other people in the church.
You know, Romans 12, we try to, our mission is to really come alongside and refresh and restore ministry leaders, which includes pastors and missionaries and, you know, spouses. But we want to do that because we want to impact the churches that will then in turn impact the whole community. Do you see that with this partnership with churches and pastors who get it, tying in with businesses? How do you think that's going to make communities better?
Well, yeah, and let me kind of flip a little bit of what I'm saying, because the truth is we should want to see business people come to Christ and business people become really committed to their faith, because God has made them stewards, right? So it's not that, you don't look at them like, you know, the cow you're going to slay to have your meal tonight. Look at them in a way to minister to them, but realize as well, if we see people who are business leaders come to Christ, they can have a tremendous, really an outsized impact on their community. And I'll give you an example outside of our community. You may have heard of Norm Miller, who is the head of Interstate Batteries. So Norm Miller got saved, I think, when he was in his 40s, and he's just a radical Christian. I mean, he just loves the Lord. And he's really big time into racing, so he sponsored Christian race teams. And then he also sponsored something you may be familiar with, or my listeners, or the listeners here, I Am Second. I don't know if you've seen the I Am Second videos.
Yes, I have.
He's the one that started that. So, you know, Norm Miller has used his resources for the gospel. He's been very involved with the Luis Palau organization. He's on the board, I think, Luis Palau. So business people, when they really get it, and when they're discipled, and they're committed to Christ, they're going to be a great resource. But don't look at them as a resource. realize that as they come to Christ, just like anyone who comes to Christ, their lives are changed. And if they become really committed to the Lord, they're going to give everything they have to the Lord. And I'm also just reminded of the story. It just kind of hit me, you know, the rich young ruler. Many of us look at that and we'll go, oh, well, you know, his sin was that he didn't want to give up his stuff. But, you know, Jesus looked at him, he said, and he loved him, you know. So it wasn't like he looked at him and said, oh, you evil guy, you're a business guy, you have all this wealth. He looked at him with love. And then he asked him something specific for him, because he knew what had hold of his life, which was what he had. That doesn't mean, you know, every business person is supposed to sell everything that they have and give it to the poor, and in that way they'd be following the Lord. They may be following the Lord by using what they have and their resources for ministry. But realize that, you know, Jesus looked at him with love. And so as a pastor, as a ministry leader, you need to first, instead of looking at that person as a resource, look at them with love. And then we'll see what God does in their lives. But I've seen that happen many times with other believers. There's a young guy that's in my group right now, and I predict he will become, you know, one of the major business people, probably certainly in this city, but probably in the country. And he's in his 30s. He just came to know the Lord about a year ago. And he's been telling me, he goes, I really feel like God wants me to do something. Well, what we're doing with him is discipling him. We want him first to grow in the Lord. We're not telling him, well, you need to go and give money at this, you know, to this organization, or you need to go and get on this board and help them or whatever. God will lead him in that way. First, he needs to be discipled. You know, he needs to be built up. And then I do believe, you know, because God's already put it on his heart. He goes, I feel like God wants me to do something. Okay, that's what will happen with people when they're properly discipled, when they grow in the Lord, then God will tell them what to do.
I think maybe that's the step that we're missing a lot of times within the church and as pastors. And we do look at these business leaders who are successful, and we don't really disciple them. We just think they've got it all together because they are successful. And so then we go after maybe their resources and talk about that, and missing that really the heart of the issue.
Yeah, and there's a lot of mistakes we can make with business people. I mean, I was just thinking of some other ones. The other mistake we can make is thinking just like you thought. Well, look at these people. They have wisdom. They're good at business. Obviously, we should have them on our elder board. Is that the case? Maybe. Maybe not. You know, are they called to be on the elder board? Do they have the other giftedness to be on the elder board? Because they may have the ability in business, but they may not be called to be an elder in a church. So sometimes we put business people in places they shouldn't be in because they don't have the heart, that kind of heart for ministry. You know, they're good at being a business person, but, you know, that's not the... I heard my pastor say this because he was at one of my business fellowships years ago, and he was sharing a story from that. He goes, and I heard this business guy at this business group, you know, get up and say, you know, the way I am, he goes, I've got my church personality on Sunday, and then I've got my business personality and what I do in business. You know, and I understood what the guy was saying because he probably didn't understand really, he didn't understand his role in the church, or he hadn't grown maybe to that point where he understood where he could be used. But some people, that's the way they look at it. You know, they look at my business life separately from my church life or my life in Christ, right? I'm going to go out there and hit it hard and do anything I can to make money, and then I'll write a check and everything's okay. So you've got that mistake. That's why you want to be careful. You don't necessarily elevate somebody to your elder board or your Christian nonprofit just because they're a good business person. You need to make sure they've been discipled and that they've grown in Christ and that they see everything that they do, like Norm Miller. You know, everything he doesn't just think about making batteries and selling them so he can go do ministry. He doesn't care that his batteries are like, let's say they create some chemical problems or poison somebody. That wouldn't be the proper heart, right? It's not like my business life is separate from my church life. They're together. You know, your business life, and that's the thing that we try to encourage with the people we know that are business people, is your business life is your ministry.
Yeah, dualism is definitely an issue.
Right.
Let me close with this. I so admire you as a community leader. You are involved and do a lot of touches across our community as a Christian leader. Leave me with a story of hope that you have witnessed in the last maybe year that ties in with this business leader with community and church.
Well, I think one of the things that business leaders can do is influence. And to me, that's where our real giftedness can be used. And one of the things that I've been involved in the community is trying to help the city of Tucson. And so I've worked with the elected officials and tried to help them and encourage them, even though all the elected officials in the city of Tucson are Democrats, and I happen to be a Republican. Because the way I look at it is the city is more important, the community is more important than our political affiliations. And sometimes, I mean, you probably heard Tony Evans' sermon that he gave at the NRB, and he talked about, where is your allegiance? Is it in Christ, or is it in your race, or is it in your political party? You know, what's our priority? So for me, that's kind of an encouraging thing when I can see that. I've had one city council member tell me, you know, I've come back to the faith too. And he happens to be Jewish, and he goes, and I really am excited about it. And he felt very open to share that with me because he knows I'm a believer. And I've told people that I worked with, the reason I'm doing this is because of my faith. And, you know, I am a Republican, yet I'm helping you, a Democrat, because I want our community to be a better place. There is hope out there, and there are some people that are elected officials, both, I think, Republicans and Democrats, who are not trustworthy people. You know, they're not in it with sincerity. But there are others, you know, that can be worked with, and it isn't a partisan thing. It's a thing of the heart. So I get encouraged when I see that kind of a thing, when I see positive things happening in our community. You know, I have to be careful because I don't want to be naming names and talking about things. But there is a person here in Tucson that just shared with me, goes, you know, I'm a believer, you know, and I put together a group for him of about 15 business people that he can meet with every other month just to get input. And I'm seeing really great things happen from that. And one of the things that has happened is, I guess, as a consequence of these people getting together, is I'm seeing people start to look at the community as being more important than their own business. The reason Tucson has suffered, and I remember years ago, there's a pastor, Roger Barrier, who I know you know, and he talked about spiritual oppression over the city of Tucson. He felt like that Tucson really suffered from that. And I believe that's true. And I believe that part of what I've seen that translates to is the attitudes among people here in Tucson. We have a poverty mentality here in Tucson. In the business community, it's like, well, there's not enough for everybody, so I'm going to grab everything I can. So there's a greed component to that. There's a pessimism here in Tucson. We'll never get it done. This will never be a better place. It'll never be a safe community. And all those things, when people feel like I need to protect myself, and they're not willing to really extend out to help others, that makes the city more of a needy place. So I'm seeing a little bit of a change there. And among these business people, more of an attitude, let's see what we can do to make Tucson better. Because if Tucson becomes a better place, there'll be less poverty, and there'll also be more prosperity in businesses. You know, every business will benefit if the city itself becomes a better place. But Tucson has suffered from that kind of poverty mentality. There's a lot of cronyism, a lot of corruption here. There's a lot of illegal activities that go on among, and I know of many things that the elected officials have done that aren't right. And, you know, it speaks to our community. But that can change, and it changes as people's hearts change and their minds change, and we could actually see a change and transformation in our community.
Well, I had a chance this morning to speak to a group, and my theme was we need to move. We need to be moving. We need to be active. We need to be involved. And I just want to say thank you, Doug, for being an example of somebody that is a unifier, that somebody that actually is doing something and really building relationships, not only within churches, but also within businesses. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us today at another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, a podcast sponsored by Romans 12 Ministries. For more information on Romans 12 Ministries, visit us at romans12ministries.org or give us a call at 520-982-5877. May we all continue to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.